It's informative, it's fun, and it's a part of your morning. The Gallo Radio Show, Super Talk Mississippi.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues, in the middle of the pouring rain. W.C. Handy, won't you look down over me? Yeah, I got a first class ticket, but I'm as blue as a girl can be. Then I'm walking in Memphis, I was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beat.
That is shit.
No kidding.
Yeah. Kind of makes you want barbecue, isn't it? Dry rub. Dry rub. I didn't watch. That's the only thing I think I watched all weekend. What? Was barbecue cooking.
That's kind of scary.
Well, it is, and it's worse because being on this diet, we learned through that research that we got last week that if you just watch those shows, it will kick up you can gain weight. Your brain says you've enjoyed that so much you've had calories, and that ain't fair. There got to be a judge and jury somewhere. The Sour of the Gallo Show is brought to you by Pine Grove Behavioral Health and Addiction Services in Hattiesburg. Call them 1-888-574-HOPE. That is 4673. Visit pinegrovetreatment.com for more information. Please don't forget the top 50 most influential people in our state. Top 50 awards happen again, and the end of the nomination is August the 18th. Please go to MissMSTop50.com. It's available on the website, our website, and also at Y'all Politics. Go there now. Nominate Mississippians in the categories of elected or appointed government officials. Who are the movers, shakers, and playmakers in government relations and lobbying? Who are the movers, shakers, and playmakers in business, in media, culture for our state? Sponsored by Y'all Politics and Super Talk, these winners will be announced in October. Nominations are open now through August the 18th, so go there and cast your ballot. One quick shot here. According to a new survey, majority of business owners do not have a college degree.
But they got business.
5% did not complete high school. 20%.
Really?
20% have high school or GED. 14% have an associate's degree. 17% have some college. 26% of college are college graduates. And 18% are postgraduate degrees. This works out fine if a person owns a business, never needs to go back to the workforce, get a job. So if you don't declare bankruptcy or shut it down, you're okay. Maybe. I don't know. It's a changing market out there. John Davis joins us. He is the head of MDHS. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. I was listening to what you said about the barbecue. Now I know what my problem is. I'm going to have to quit watching barbecue shows.
Do you watch them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's 5 pounds right
that's
there.
That's what I'm thinking, man.
And then let me tell you once to stay away from, because I've figured out the caloric intake on some of these shows. The better they are, the more you gain.
Oh, mercy.
There's a couple called The Best Thing I've Ever Eaten. And there's another one, and of course you got Guy Fieri's Diners and Dry, and that's a killer.
Love it.
And that is dangerous. How are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. It's
everything
good
going
to be
okay?
Here. Yeah, that's a loaded question, but yeah, everything's great. Yeah, everything's great. We are, as I told you earlier, we're keeping the plates spinning.
All right, let's talk about some things. You talk about keeping the plate spinning. There are so many things going on, and I don't even know where to start here. But, I mean, it's an agency that really does touch the lives of so many people in our state.
Yeah, it does. But we're being intentional. We're trying to help people and families holistically, trying to see how we can help them along that pathway to success. You know, there's such a need to assist those individuals that come into our office beyond just determining eligibility for a benefit. what you just mentioned about the education.
Yeah.
There's an education need. There's a vocational training need. Whatever there happens to be, and not just look at the individual, but the family as a whole.
One of the things, and for people who are listening to this all across the state, just if you hear something that may be some connectivity with not only yourself, maybe the people in your family or some people you know, maybe in your church group,
yeah,
who are having a tough time, there are so many things out there, yeah, that resources for you,
yes,
and this is what they are for. Go out there and take advantage of them.
Absolutely. You know, there's always an opportunity to connect with other agencies, with other nonprofits, with whatever it takes to get to the resource to help with that self-sufficiency, because ultimately no one wants to be dependent on benefits.
Yeah, you put in here, and I'm reading some of the notes in here, but a braided resource model. I don't know what a braided resource model is, other than things are some connectivity with other
ones. It is. Braided simply means something beyond even blended. I mean, mm-hmm, braided means that we're working together, that we're actually taking those programs across agencies and saying, how can we help an individual or family together rather than being siloed out? Because there's so many times that we lap over those services that it's more cost effective and more efficient even for the families to do this together. So we are working very closely with multiple agencies, or most every state agency, and now trying to reach out into the community with community organizations and nonprofits and so on and so
forth. Does that also go into federal agencies too?
Oh, absolutely.
Anywhere that there is help, we can put
absolutely. I was just asked to come to Georgia. The state of Georgia was putting together a two-generational meeting, and they asked me to come because we're about a year ahead. Mm-hmm. And so we talked with all their agency heads, and the same thing we've done, the governor had pulled us together as agency heads and said, okay, guys, well, I need you to work together. With the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, and so why not use that same model to help people in need, whatever that need happens to be.
Which, one of the things the governor has been strong about is performance-based.
Oh, yes.
Let's make sure, and I think it's also one of the things as far as is Trump in Washington, D.C., is let's make sure the agencies are doing what they're supposed to do. If they're not, then we'll dissolve them or
right,
find a way for them to do that. When you look at that reorganization effort, I mean, you guys underwent that this year, and it was rather a big transition when you took the Department of Child Protection Services?
The Family and Children Services Division of MDHS has now become the Department of Child Protection Services, CPS, and Dr. Chandler is doing an awesome job there with Child Protection Services, and mm-hmm, and we, of course, continue to work together and will continue to do so, because even as a separate agency, we will still work together to help those children and the families that those children are that belong to.
How do you do that? Do you have meetings together every once in a while?
Yeah, we actually do. We're very close. We have those meetings daily, weekly, but sometimes daily. It depends on what the situation
is.
Because from the sense of a braided resource, a child who is in need probably needs more than just a family to take care of them. There's all those services out there, education and transportation and child care for the family that's taking care of that child,
yeah,
and so on and so forth. Yeah.
We were successful in asking the people, did they want to help, and they said yes, and they were successful in making it happen. $255,431.03 to the Palmer Home,
yes,
for these kids over there.
Awesome.
So we know that there is a tremendous need in our state for that.
That is such a great center, but that is just one of those resources that we need to continue to work with. The Palmer Home, of course, but any other resource that's out there that can help that family. And I keep saying that because I want to keep reiterating the importance, mm-hmm, of working together with everyone. So, in other words, our county offices that are out there, we're going through a re-engineering process to actually look at how we can do something besides just be eligibility staff. We need to be the staff who is helping navigating those individuals or the individuals are seeking services through this bureaucratic, you know, puzzle.
Yeah. So if in your church group or at work or someplace, you know a 24, 25, 30-year-old woman,
right,
who has, you know, she's a single mom,
mm-hmm,
she's struggling out there, maybe,
yeah,
with her education, maybe,
yeah,
with her job.
Yeah.
There are some people that can help you.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the beauty of this, because we have such a good relationship even now with Dr. Mayfield, Andrea Mayfield, over at the Board of Community College.
She's doing a great job.
Awesome, awesome,
yes,
lady, and is helping us tremendously to identify those needs. But even beyond that, the vocational technical training that can be offered. So post-secondary education is, of course, important, but vocational technical training is, mm-hmm, important as well. There's a lot of folks out there with technical training that are making, you know, $30, $40, $50 an hour, and we need to help those individuals get to those jobs.
Well, and also to identify those skills. I mean, if you're 26 years old and they finally kicked you out of the basement, you've got to go somewhere. maybe it's time to start calling some folks and find out. The Generation Plus, what is that about?
The Generation Plus is a take on the two-generation approach that the feds, the federal government on the USDA and HHS side, Health and Human Services side, has been pushing for years. But in Mississippi, we believe it's deeper than two generations. We actually believe there's two, three, four, five generations deep of individuals who could potentially need some services. And services, when I say that, I'm talking about assistance, again, along that pathway to success. Self-sufficiency is the ultimate goal for whomever, the adult in the household, for the child in the household, whomever we're dealing with, is the ultimate goal would be self-sufficiency.
Well, do you have data to look at this and say that we are achieving that?
Yeah, we've been working for years with NSPARC at Mississippi State University, who's been collecting data that actually since 1994, collecting that temporary assistance for needy families data, and now they're starting to collect other data through the state longitudinal data systems, the SLDS, and we're able to take that data and say, how can we truly see the picture of helping individuals, and we're doing that.
Well, you can't, unless you have that data, you don't know what's working, what's not working.
Yeah, and I give you an example. The individuals that have come through since 96 on the TANF side, we see that over 80% of those have been successful in moving off of that program into a work placement or educational setting.
The agency was selected by the United States Department of Agriculture to lead the National Accuracy Clearinghouse. We'll tell you about that and more when we return with John Davies, Mississippi Department of Human Services, coming up next.
Gallo. Super Talk Mississippi.
You heard about it. It's real.
It's the Gallo
Radio
Show with Paul Gallo.
Paul Gallo. Everything is quality and so good.
On Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Are back. John Davis, Mississippi Department of Human Services. The agency selected by the United States Department of Agriculture to lead the National Accuracy Clearinghouse pilot program that's proven will prevent SNAP fraud, double dipping with the National Accuracy Clearinghouse. So this is just to shape up SNAP, or?
Yeah, well, you know.
We've done a pretty good job on that.
Well, we have. We've done really well over the years. We're one of the leading states, I think, with as far as, I don't think I know, we're one of the leading states of the accuracy, payment accuracy in the SNAP program. Yeah. But one of the things that we can do is do better. And so in doing so, there's not a national clearinghouse. There's not a national computer system where all the SNAP recipients are located. So the feds, the federal government said, our partner said, okay, well, we'll let Mississippi, we'll allow Mississippi to join with other southern states to put together a network of states who can have all of that information into one data dump. And so in doing that, we've got five states that joined us. It's mostly the southern coastal states because of the hurricanes and the so on and so forth that we were. So individuals who are recipients over in Georgia, now if they come to Mississippi, we have that information real time. It's not, we don't have to call and ask Georgia, is this person receiving benefits in Georgia? Or we don't have to call Florida or Louisiana or those sister states that
are. So we actually have people maybe who left Louisiana, came to Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
And are still drawing food stamps in both places? Or
absolutely. That could happen.
Really?
That could happen because there's no national data system. So
is there a consequence as far as a fine for doing that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we catch you, we're gonna of course disqualify the household and sanction that household and so on and so forth. But why wait until 2, 3, 4 months down the road when we can keep that program integrity within the SNAP benefits at the beginning, at the front end?
Well, you know, the thing we always said is there are people that need that help out there.
Absolutely.
We're cheating them when they do this.
Absolutely.
According to the NAC, This could possibly save $193.4 million nationally by reducing the dual participation in SNAP.
Right. That's conservative, too. And we're working now with the Department of Agriculture to make sure that that rolls out nationwide, so that we've been given the green light to do that nationally. So Mississippi still remains the leader in that program, so we're working out all those details. So we'll be rolling that out soon, shortly.
With the budget constraints and everything that we have, every agency has, the Workforce Development Division got 100% as far as federal grants?
Yeah, we have really focused in on or being intentional about working with individuals on workforce development. And the federal government has recognized Mississippi as a leader in that area and has actually allowed us to expand that program to a point where we are helping people, thereby generating savings, cost efficiencies and savings within the program. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, my wife and I were talking about the grandchild. One of the grandkids goes to kindergarten for the first time next year. Yeah. She's been in a wonderful, wonderful daycare system. Mm-hmm. It's a heck of a school because she has learned so much in pre-K as far as, you know, just a multitude of things, how to write her name, how to alphabets, numbers, all of these different things, way ahead of someone back in our day that didn't even have kindergarten.
Right.
So you look at this, and one of the initiatives here is the State Early Child Care Advisory Council.
Yeah.
When you talk about all of these daycare centers out there, how do you guys coordinate that?
Well, that's one of the issues. You know, on the national side, we had the child care reauthorization bill that came up last year. Well, now it's been 2 years ago, and they've allowed the states to come up with state plans under those federal guidelines. Well, the governor, of course, is intentional. Educational priority is right there for any programs that we're working through, and the child care program is no different in that we are seeking quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. If there's an opportunity for us to work with providers, We've created those child care or those provider academies, teacher academies within the community college system now. Community colleges around the state are now providing professional development training for those providers and their staff.
But if you're a daycare center, you're not mandated by the state to have a particular curriculum.
Well, you know, what's one of the things we're working on right now with the state plan? We're working with those facilities to make sure that they have every opportunity to grow that facility in an educational bent.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you this, on the voucher side, the child care voucher side, there is no requirement that a provider accept vouchers, and there is no requirement. We can't mandate any parent to choose a particular provider. That's their choice. But we can offer those things that would help provide a professional growth within that provider world.
A question that came into me quite a while ago was, it's almost like a restaurant when the health department inspects it and you can see exactly what the rating is of that.
Yeah.
And in this social media world, most everybody's going to check the reviews on something. How do we know that as far as daycare centers when a new parent says, I'm shopping for a new daycare center there?
Well, actually, Paul, you make a good point. We partner with the Department of Health. Dr. Curry over there is a great person to work with, and we partner with them, and they actually do or list those centers that have been that they go out and inspect those child care provider centers or the child care centers.
Yeah.
And then they list them on their website just like they do those
restaurants.
But that's
on a health basis, not an educational basis.
But on an educational basis, we have not gotten to that point yet. That's one of the things that we're working on with our new state plan, and we'll be doing that, providing those that quality rather than quantity kind of thing. The new plan we posted out on our website. We're encouraging people to look at that. We're vetting through, making sure that people have an opportunity to have input before we finalize that state plan.
I think of all the things that you do, and you talk about spinning all these plates, it's finally good to see a lot of this coming together with the overall umbrella of Family First.
Yeah. Oh, man, that Families First are doing awesome. Just like we mentioned the Palmer House, the Families First also are reaching out into community. They're community-based organizations. We have umbrella organizations, one in the north and one in the south, who then go out and work with those local communities to develop out those programs, counseling, healthy teens for Better Mississippi, teen pregnancy issues, fatherhood initiatives, all of those different areas of which we can help families be successful.
You have got a lot, you got a lot of things going on.
Well, that's part of it.
I think that's underestimating understating the spinning plates. you didn't seek the able-bodied adults without dependents waiver from the USDA. Why was that?
No, you know, that was one of the things. I know the governor's mentioned this a couple times. He and I had long conversations about this, and seeking that ABOD waiver, the able-bodied adults without dependent waiver, only allowed it or facilitated individuals who it really allowed us to really short change them, because now we, by not seeking that waiver, we are helping. It is our job to make sure that any individual between the ages of 18 and 50 who does not have an dependent in their home has an opportunity for work, whether that's through additional training, whether that's through just helping them prepare a resume, whatever the soft skills that are needed for that individual to get to a job. Because if they're truly on SNAP benefits, then that means that there probably is not, there may be some wages, but there may not be livable wages in the home.
Well, one more plate to spin here. The Older Adults Nutrition Program, you've provided 399,926 meals in congregate settings, 1,577,000 plus meals served in home settings to seniors around the state.
Yeah, you know, that's a passion. The aging population is such a vulnerable population in many states. In Mississippi, we love family, right? And and let's face it, baby boomers are getting a little bit older. The silver tsunami is headed this way, and it may have already overtaken us. But we have an opportunity to reach out into to the population and help reach back, actually, and help those individuals who've gone before us, and by helping them with those meals, those congregate feeding sites, and or those meals, those in-home meals, they get the opportunity to stay in their home rather than being in some sort of institution or a long-term care facility.
How does that differ from SNAP itself? Or
well,
are these just prepared meals?
Yeah, it is prepared meals that we work with through USDA to make sure that those meals get out to those individuals.
Because a lot of them, you look at these rural folks sometimes, they have very few jobs back then. They were working on their own. Yeah. It was a cash currency system back there. Some of them didn't have the Social Security to rely on back in those days. And a lot of them, and we talked about this before, were just too proud to take that help, but hopefully things are changing.
Well, and you have to factor in a lot of different things as well. I mean, nowadays the cost of medicine alone can put you in the poorhouse.
True.
Amen. But one of the things that we have to remember is these individuals, it's not that they necessarily are asking for handouts. We kind of consider it as an opportunity to assist them to ensure that maybe there's not an additional cost. But because let's face it, if you have an individual who goes into a care facility, it will ultimately cost at an even higher rate than that
Absolutely.
Meal ever would.
And I think we find that out more and more as time goes on.
Yeah.
And finally, MDHS has reduced the liability of state funds necessary to administer the agency by more than 30%. We only got about 10 seconds left here.
Oh, I can talk forever, but one of the things that we do is, in challenging financial times, we find creative, innovative ways to do better, and that's what our job is at the Department of Human Services.
Like the plates, my head is spinning because we've had so many different things.
To get your head spinning takes a lot, Paul. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Look, go to the agency website.
Yeah.
You folks out there, whether you're church group, your family, some people you know who really need some help, MDHS, they probably have more assistance than you ever thought about. The website is
www.mdhs.ms.gov.
Some like it high.